Mr. Matt is gone and out of town. John's way back here pretty soon. He'll be here this next coming week. But Dan is always welcome. Is always gracious enough to agree to come and speak to us and preach to us this morning. So Dan, come see what the Lord is doing in your heart. Dan Puckett, one of our Life Action missionaries.
How do I get up there? Okay, I'll see.
By the way, we did collect enough money, if you looked in the bulletin, to send these boxes. So good job on that.
Well, good morning.
Good
morning. I saw Scott and Renee. Renee Shriver is here, and it's good to see her. That's pretty amazing. So, praise the Lord. I'm getting a little ring here, Bob, if you might be able to. Well, yes. Oh, yes, I was going to do that. The children, you may go. Up through fifth grade. Now the rest of you can leave. Just stay here. Yeah, I want to talk this morning on a subject that I feel like is very important. If I ask you this morning, how are you? You would answer, fine. You know, we're all fine, but are we really? Are we really being honest? Are we really being, and how does God look at us? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, there's a passage where they're talking about David and Samuel, King Saul, and a whole series of events. But let me pray and we'll get into it. So bow with me. Father, thank you for this day, this time. Thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Saul was king. He was a king that had disobeyed God, so God was finished with him, and God was now ready to find a new king. So he tells Samuel the prophet, Samuel, go over to the house of Jesse, and there I'm going to anoint a new king among his sons. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and they are there in the place to have a meal, and he's told him why he's there, and he asks him, are all your sons here? Yes. And Samuel looked at the oldest son, whose name was Eliab, and his oldest son was a striking person, obviously handsome and strong and tall and whatever else. And Samuel thought this. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me, because that's why I came. God sent me here to anoint a new king over Israel in the place of Saul. And that's him. That's got to be him. God says, no, that's not him. Well, how about the next son? The next son, the next son, the next son. Through seven sons, God said, none of them. So Samuel said, do you have any more sons? Well, yes, I've got David. He's out with the sheep. So David comes in, and you know the story, the ruddy complexion, the, you know, just the youngest son forgotten with the sheep during this very important occasion. He comes in, and God tells Samuel, that's him. And then God says this to Samuel. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Now, we spent some time this morning, some more than others, preparing our outward appearance. We might have combed our hair, maybe not. And we might have brushed our teeth and put on some makeup if it's appropriate and put some clothes on. And so we really worked on our outward appearance, and we probably looked in the mirror and said, yeah, I think this is okay. I think this is acceptable. I think I'll be all right to go to church like this. So we came. And that's fine. And we should. I mean, obviously, we should take care of ourselves on the outside. But God is not impressed with that. God looks at our heart. So we're going to talk about some matters of the heart. Do I launch this thing, Jeff, or do you? I'm pushing buttons. I think I've got it turned on. Matters of the heart. Now, if the heart is important, Proverbs tells us, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. In another translation, it says, watch your heart. But the point is that we need to pay attention to the condition of our heart. Guard our heart so we get this idea of a guard. This is a palace guard. And you know that he's got his uniform on. He's got his weapon. He's got his boots on. He's ready. He is about some serious business. And I believe that guarding our heart and watching over our lives and watching our condition before God is important enough that we would be as diligent as this guy looks. So we guard our heart. Now the heart is the seat of our emotions. It's who we are. It's the essence of you. Your heart is your personality. It's your spirit. It's who you are. So the heart is the seat of our emotion, and it is the wellspring of life. Out of our heart flow the issues of life. In other words, everything about you and everything you do and everything you go about and everything you associate with comes out of your heart, and your attitudes come from your heart. Your hopes, your desires, your dreams, everything comes out of your heart. It's how the issues of the life is where your heart, that comes out of your heart. Now, guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says. So now that palace guard we looked at, we know that he better be diligent. And if you've heard anything about these guys, they stand there. They don't smile. They don't do anything. They just stand there. But you get the idea. These guys are on mission. They're diligent. They're guarding our, and we guard our heart with all diligence. Now, diligent. I can be diligent by working hard and putting in a great effort to do something. So if you're diligent, that means you've got character. That means you've got purpose. That means you're on mission to do something that's in your mind to do. So guard your heart with all diligence. Now, the heart is the wellspring. It's bubbling up. It's overflowing. It's kind of a picture like this, I think. It's just flowing up. There's a place in Israel called the Well of Harod. It's the place where Gideon was whenever he brought his 32,000 men and they were going to face the Midianites. And they came to the Well of Harod, and that's where God dwindled his crew down to about 300. But this is, you know, almost exactly what it looks like. The water just bubbles out of the ground, and it has been for thousands of years. And there's a pond there and a stream that flows away from it. But you get this idea that the heart is just bubbling up. And I'm sure you've been with people that seems like there's just no end to their enthusiasm and personality and vigor and ideas. I know some people seem like they have ideas all the time, more ideas than I can even comprehend. But the heart is the wellspring. It's bubbling up. It's overflowing. That's what the Bible says. The heart is the essence of all of these things. And so we need to protect it. And out of it flow the issues of life. Now, our heart, and I think this picture of a heart is kind of appropriate. It's got a couple of Band-Aids on it. It's got some things dripping out of it. So you kind of get the idea. The heart, the issues of our life flow from our heart. Now, some of these issues, number one, hope you can see that, yeah, is salvation. Salvation is pretty important, wouldn't you agree? Turn to your neighbor and say, salvation is important. Good. I'm glad you all are still awake. Salvation in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for it is with the heart that you believe. Now, we've all heard the story that you can believe with your head, that won't get you anywhere. You got to believe with your heart. If you believe with your heart, you get the idea, you know, in that simple comparison of head belief to heart belief, that what I might know in my head doesn't do me any good until it gets to my heart. And obviously, when it gets to my heart, it's going to change my life. You get the idea that head belief doesn't really do anything until it hits our heart, and then that changes things. With the heart, you believe. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and that is the statement, that's the essence of salvation. So if it's important enough that I believe with my heart, I better know my heart and I better get my heart in the right place for salvation. So that's an issue of life. And the next, in another issue of life is loving God. We're told in Matthew 22, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart. What does that look like? What does that look like for you? Is that just a statement? Is that something that doesn't mean anything? Or is it love God with all your heart? You say, well, okay, I do. Well, do you? Now, I heard for years, was taught for years, that in your comprehension of things, in your spiritual life, that there's the mind and the will and the emotions. And so you hear something with your mind, or you take a command in your mind, you hear it, and you say, okay, I've been told to do something. I exercise my will to obey. It doesn't matter how, I've been told, it doesn't matter how you feel about it, you just do it, and if you do the right thing, your emotions will follow. Now, there's a lot of truth to that, but for me, I've found out this. Loving God is an emotional thing. It doesn't tell us to think about God, it tells us to love God. And until I've become starting to get involved emotionally thinking about God and loving God on an emotional level, even to the point that you make up your special little names for God. The Bible says that we can call him Abba Father. And I like to call God Abba Daddy. And this emotional tie that comes from that, and the emotions of thinking about a being, God, who loves me, and not only loves me, he likes me, and I like him. And it's, and the relationship needs to grow, and it needs to abound, and it needs to look like something. Not just this sour expression of saying you love God and not doing anything. What is that? That's not heart belief. If I'm going to believe with my heart, with all my heart, the verse goes on to say, all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, everything I am. But I'm to love God with all my heart. And if I'm going to do that, it's got to be more than just something I say in my head and speak with my mouth. It's got to be something from the heart. And if there's not something flowing out of your heart, you'd have to say, do I really love God? Do I really love God? Do you really like God? Well, that's an issue of life that flows from our heart. Another one is seeking God. Jeremiah says in 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I have a core value in my life of seeking God. I want to seek God. I want to find God. I want to know God. I want to know God like I've never known God before. And it's important because what else is there? What else is there to life? It's so dull and so mundane just to go through the motions and say, well, whatever today, I'll just do it. And there's no joy. There's nothing. Seek God, and you'll find him when you seek with your whole heart. Now, we know God looks on our heart. And are we really looking for God? Are we really saying, I don't care what it takes. I don't care how much time. I don't care what I have to lay aside. I'm going to find God. Seek me, and you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Now, there's also the fact that our heart is tethered to our treasure. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I get this idea that where my treasure is, my heart is tied to it. Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but we're going to go through some things that could be treasures or places where our hearts go. And like I say, I'm not picking on anybody. These are just some illustrations. But, you know, you could be a coffee snob. Now, there's some people that really like coffee. I mean, coffee is a thing to them. I heard about a guy, and he did this poured coffee. I'm just pouring coffee. I'm talking about pouring it over the grounds. He had the special grinder that ground the coffee beans just the right texture, just the right, just everything right about these coffee beans. And then he heated the water to 208 degrees, not boiling. Can't be boiling water. It's got to be 208 degrees. And then you put the coffee in this little thing, and you put it over this cup, and you pour it, and you pour it gently, and you do it lovingly, and you take, because this coffee is important. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and if you do that, great. There's also the French press and but there's people that they have to know. They even have to weigh their coffee beans and look at them to be sure that they're all just right. There can't be any runt coffee beans in the mix. So you could be a coffee snob. And you know that can capture your heart. Or it could be money. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. I told one of my leaders in Life Action the other day, I said, I don't have any problems in Life Action that money won't solve. And right now, that's not totally true, but that's about 90% true. But anyway, money. And your heart could be after money. Your heart could be secure in money. Everything could be money, 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 money. Or it could be in relationships, romance, and even you married people, sometimes we can focus on our mate and leave God out of the picture. But it's about our heart. Out of our heart flow the issues of life. Now, there's many other issues. I just picked on three. There's many, but you get the idea. Out of our heart comes the issues of our life. That's why we should guard it. Now, it sounds like a lot of work to be looking after our heart and be doing all this and taking care of things and being watchful and diligent and all that, and our heart, our guarding, and this diligent, and just and you just feel like, I'm not sure I can do that. Well, we can be diligent. I can, by work hard and putting in a great effort, I can be diligent. But sometimes just you feel like this. You think, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just not making any headway in this. It seems like I'm still distant from God. It seems like my life isn't, and I'm not sure God even cares about me. I'm not sure God loves me. I'm not sure God even knows me. I'm not sure God even knows my address. And many times in our circumstances, if we just look at the circumstances, we can feel like, where's God in this? Well, we come to the point sometimes we say, I just can't do it. And really we can't, because our heart will lie to you. The scripture tells us in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? So you really have to take an approach with God about this, where you're saying, God, I can't do this, but you can. I want to take you to a verse, and we need to let God do it, because we can't generate in our own heart these things that are supposed to be generated apart from God. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul says this, be anxious for nothing. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you anxious for anything? Any anxiety in your life? What are you stressed out about? Anything? Can you imagine really obeying, be anxious for nothing? That's hard to get your head around, isn't it? You mean nothing? I mean, I'm not to even be thinking about lunch, which is just, you know, an hour or so away, or whatever I'm going to do this afternoon, or my job or lack of it, or money or lack of it, or my health, or I'm to be anxious for nothing? That's what it says. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, let me ask you this. Is there anything going on in your life or anything you think you'll be facing that God can't handle? Anything? I mean, raise your hand if you got something. I'd like to hear it. You say, yeah, this one, you know, God can't do this. Too big for God. Is there anything in your life God doesn't care about? Is there anything in your life that God is not in charge of and in control of? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we've come in a full circle here, where now, rather than feeling like we're over here having to be this palace guard with our eyes wide open and our gun ready and standing there looking at everybody and just saying, can I really do this with all diligence? Can I really do that? And it says, if I will allow the peace of God to come into my life, it will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now there's the peace with God, and there's peace of God. Peace with God is, therefore, in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation. Peace with God, the enmity, the barrier has been broken down by the blood of Christ shed on the cross. So I have peace with God. If you have been saved, you have peace with God. God is not against you as he was before or as he is against those who are unsaved. We have peace with God. But then there's the peace of God, which means that our heart is settled. We've made the statement, we have declared in our heart that God is God and I am not. And I don't want the job. I'm going to let him be God. I am going to resign from running the universe. Okay? You want to join me in that? You want to resign from running the universe, even your universe? Our heart is settled. We're surrendered to God completely. Now that's a little difficult to comprehend, to go through a list and think, and it might be a pretty good exercise to make a list. Get out a pencil and a piece of paper and say, here's all the things that I have not surrendered to God. Now, I'm not tricking you in anything. I'm just asking you, you know, what would be on the list? I know that I probably have some things on that list that I haven't struggling with. No, they need to be there, but have I really said, God, can I trust you with that? Because if I trust you with it, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take it away from me? But are we surrendered to God completely? And like I say, that's a life process. I'm working on that. That's something that I want to be there. I want to be able to say, God, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. And whatever happens, I will be at peace with it. Because I have the peace of God and I'm surrendered in my heart. We have no reserve, no holding back, nothing behind our backs, nothing stuffed away in a corner somewhere that we think God can't get to. We have the peace of God, and we have no agenda other than finding God and knowing God. Now, you might think, well, how does that apply to my life? Well, it applies to about everything. If you take a trip to the doctor, and you go into the doctor, and you say, and you're there for an exam or whatever, or you got a problem, and you know, and you're going to talk to the doctor about it, and you think, okay, just surrender it all. Just say, God, God, this is yours. And I don't care what it is. God, this is yours. No matter what the circumstance, God can handle it. And we should be allowing God to handle it. Because it all ends up, we're either anxious, which kind of looks like this. You know, we're stressed out. And we just, you know, that's it right there. Stressed out, anxious. Or we're surrendered. Hands up. God, it's yours. Head bowed. Hands up. It's God's. So the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, I'd ask you to help us. God, I would pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that that even as we would make the list of the things that are not surrendered totally to you, that God would bring those things to you and one by one surrender them all to you completely. And God, you'd have your way in our lives for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.